Last week, Lisa Moore lost her long fight with breast cancer and died at the age of 36. She was a lawyer and leaves her husband Les and a 5-year-old daughter. And millions of us have known her since she was in high school. Lisa Moore was a central character in the comic strip Funky Winker Bean. The story of her diagnosis, her mastectomy, chemotherapy, remission, and the final and fatal reemergence of her disease drew mixed reactions. Many readers applauded the strip's willingness to address weighty topics, but others argued that there's plenty of disease and death on all of the other pages of the newspaper, that the funnies ought to be a refuge. Cartoonist and creator of Funky Winker Bean, Tom Baddock, joins us in just a moment. We want to hear from you. If you follow Funky Winker Bean, what did this story and this character mean to you? Should comic strips be funny? Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Tom Baddock writes and draws Funky Winker Bean. He's the author of Lisa's Story, The Other Shoe, a book which collects his stories about Lisa Moore's struggle with cancer. He joins us today from the studios of member station KERA in Dallas, Texas. Nice to have you on the program.
Thanks, Neil. It's fun to be on this side of the radio. I have penciled a lot of funkies to talk of the nation.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder, though, I guess the condolences for Lisa's death must go to you.
Yeah, it's been an interesting trip with Lisa. She's been the character who, through all her time, has walked me through some of the most challenging storylines in Funky, and she's continually opened new doors for me, including this final story.
Mm-hmm. The stories of her, you know, what we would think of as encountering real life problems. She was pregnant as a teenager,
and that's what started it. I went to my old high school, and I would hang around and sketch. And in one of my sketchbooks, I had a sketch of a young girl who was pregnant. And I thought, you know, this has never been addressed. Why don't we take a look at this? And that's where Lisa came to life. And in that storyline, she showed me that, you know, this medium could handle the weight of ideas like that.
Mm-hmm. And not merely the weight of ideas. There was a humorous side to it, too.
Well, I mean, that was the trick. It was to try to take something that was a little more substantial but still inject humor into it. And what you had to do was you often found different types of humor and different ways of bringing the humor forward.
Mm-hmm. Was it harder to find humor in cancer?
You know, it's still there. It's just a little bit different. But, you know, it started the minute in my own case, when I heard the diagnosis of cancer, you become like one of those characters in a Peanuts special, and all you hear after that is wah, 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 wah. You know, mm-hmm. I thought I should start paying attention to what's going on here because I think there's going to be a story.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had experience with cancer yourself.
Yes. I mean, I'm fine. I was, you know, thanks to early detection, I'm doing well. But it opened my eyes when I had first touched on Lisa's story back in 1999. I was sort of empathizing with the experiences of friends and relatives. But when you go through a personal experience, you realize there's a tremendous gulf between empathy and experiencing it yourself. And the emotions you feel, I think, deepened the work this second time.
Mm-hmm. And why and when did you decide that she would die?
Well, I think going back into this story, one of the things that kind of opened the door for me, I'd seen these plaques on park benches in Central Park, and they were dedicated to loved ones or spouses or family members who'd passed on. And I was fascinated with the story of how love endures once fate has stepped in to have its say in the matter. So I knew going in with that sort of mindset that this was I was probably going to take Lisa, you know, the final step, and she opened that final door for me.
Was it difficult? I mean, you took her through this process, and again, she decides not to go through the chemotherapy again, and that made her death inevitable in one respect. And then you had was it difficult to draw her as she approached death, as she withered, as she lost her hair?
Well, you know, when you're actually going through something like that, when you're involved in the process of creating the material and getting it out, you're so involved in the technical aspects of, am I getting this right? Have I made these changes correctly? That it doesn't hit you. It hit me afterwards, after everything was done. Then the emotional impact kind of, I'd go over the scripts with people and I'd find myself getting a little choked up.
Hmm. You can see the strips of Lisa's last few days at our website. That's at npr.org/talk. And I wonder, we're going to get some listeners on the line, I guess, addressing the question of whether the funnies ought to be funny. But do you miss her?
Yes and no. I mean, again, she's been such a powerful character for me, but she's rather ubiquitous. I'm about a year ahead, so I am. After her death at the end of this month, we kind of time jumped the strip forward a little bit. So she's in the strip quite a bit. Les sort of talks to her.
Les, her husband. Yeah.
Yes, and it talks about the daughter Summer,
mm-hmm.
and then Les and Summer also hold a Lisa's legacy race for her. They're going to be holding it each fall in honor of her memory.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also made some videos for her daughter, so she'll be appearing again, sort of giving her her advice at certain important life stages, like turning 16, and you know that type of thing.
Did you steal that idea from Isaac Asimov? Is this the Harry Seldon idea? He's going to come back and tell us what he's predicted the future, and here's what you have to do.
I got that idea, and I not only did that, but I mentioned it in the strip.
Really?
Les comes in and said he enjoyed reading Isaac Asimov, and there was this character, Harry Seldon, and he made, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the Foundation Trilogy. Anyway, yeah. Let's see if we can get some listeners on the line. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Our guest, of course, Tom Batic, creator of the comic strip Funky Winker Bean. And let's go talk with Erica. Erica's with us from Anchorage in Alaska.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My mother passed away from ovarian cancer about 9.5 years ago, and 10 now. And reading the strip every morning was very difficult because it brought back a lot of emotions.
Mm.
But I think it was great to have it in the paper because, like you say, without the experience, you know, there's a difference between experience and empathy. And I just want to say it was a great experience to see it again and to relive some of those moments and to explain to my daughters who never knew their grandmother what she went through.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss, but I've been hearing from a lot of people like that who appreciate seeing what they've been through reflected back at them from the strip. So thank you for the kind comments.
Thank you. I'm glad you put it in. I'm looking forward to seeing more of her.
Thanks, Eric.
Terrific.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. Let's go to, this is Janice. Janice with us from South Bend, Indiana.
Hi.
Hi.
I love Funky Winkerbean, but my husband and I are of two different opinions about this. I think it's wonderful that you dealt with it. My mom is a longtime survivor of breast cancer, but my husband thinks that he likes Funky Winkerbean, but he likes it to be a comic strip.
Hmm.
I think that you did a great service.
He likes the older funny stuff.
Yeah.
It's that old Woody Allen line.
Absolutely.
Like the old funny movies, yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's nice that, you know, I've got a culture war in your house there, but I mean, it's to do funny things, I like writing funny. It's very enjoyable, but I think sometimes you need to try to get to the heart of things, too.
Hmm. Well, and a lot of people read it, and it's a good vessel for getting the message out.
Thank you.
Let me read. Thanks very much for the call, Janice.
Thank you.
There was a post that was cited in one of the stories about the deaths of Lisa Moore. This was on the blog, the www.thecancerblog.com, from a reader named Millie. It was addressed to you and said in part, "I just can't stand the storyline about Lisa dying with cancer. I believe there's so much tragedy in this world and that sadness has affected every person's life. Comics are supposed to be interesting, funny, relieve some sadness. They used to be called the funnies in the old days because that's what the family look forward to seeing every day. Believe me, I am really upset by your storyline. Lisa has a small child. I know this happens in real life, but why don't you write a book or do a movie instead of creating such sadness in the funnies?"
Well, I think that's, you know, part of the immediacy of the comics, because they're in people's houses and they're there for sometimes years, and people really invest themselves in these characters. But I think that that's a kind of a narrow and limited definition of this medium. I think this medium has a right to be as expansive and artistic as any other medium, like a novel or a movie. Mm-hmm. And I think all things can be explored. And I think there's plenty of room on the page for a diverse, viewpoints.
It's interesting. In recent months, BD, the character in Doonesbury, lost his leg in Iraq, and there were certainly some very difficult and painful moments that he's had, though that's not quite as realistic a strip even as Funky Winkerbean. And for better or worse, a character named Jim has suffered a stroke and just had another one.
Yeah, and if you go back in history, like Tearing the Pirates, when Raven Sherman died, it created a firestorm for Milton Caniff. And even further back in a strip called The Gumps, Sidney Smith created a character, Mary Gold, who died And there was a, you know, tremendous reaction from people because, again, people really do invest a lot of their feelings and personal emotions in their comic characters they see every day.
Let's go now to Margaret. Margaret's with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, I just don't understand what the big deal is about. Marmaduke has been running the same joke since the dawn of time. And Hagar the Horrible drinks like a fish. People who don't understand why Funky Winkerbean will be talking about an issue like breast cancer or like they've been doing for forever, the war in Iraq, where no other comic is talking about that. That's what Funky Winkerbean is really about. That's what makes it what it is.
Hmm. Well, you're obviously a woman of culture and taste. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I like to think so.
Yeah, and we all like to think so. Margaret, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
We're talking with Tom Batek, the who writes and draws the comic strip Funky Winkerbean, and we're talking about the death of one of his characters, a woman named Lisa Moore, who died of breast cancer last week in the comic. You're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News. And let's go to Laura. Laura from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hello. I grew up in Dallas and enjoyed Funky Winkerbean, and my parents still live there, and on the refrigerator lives a clipping from when they were toasting to her remission, I guess, and it says to the in health part of this in sickness and in health. And my parents, you know, have that on their refrigerator, remind them every day to enjoy the in health part. So I want to thank you for that. I think it was great having it in the comic strip.
Well, thank you.
And we should point out that while Tom Batek is with us from Dallas today, you're normally in Ohio.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes, we both are, actually.
How about that?
Just happened to be in Dallas today.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the call, Laura.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's try Carol. Carol with us from Madison, Wisconsin.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say thank you for addressing this in the comics. I think I'm a person who may not read the comics every single day, but I've been reading the comics for years, and I do follow the characters, and I love the strips such as yours who have real-life events and address real issues. This comic strip made me cry, bawling, and I was glad I was alone in the kitchen when I read it. And the newspapers owe you royalties, because I know I was shopping and getting the newspaper every single day trying to get the next line on that one. But I just wanted to applaud you addressing this issue. My son also is 7 years old and reads the comics, and it's gotten us talking about death in a way that isn't personal, and I think that's a healthy way to deal with death before you deal with it in a personal way. So thank you.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's great to be able to deal with things in sort of an imaginary fantasy realm before you encounter them in the real world. Sometimes you sort of get a little practice, and I think that's one of the things that art can do.
Hmm. Thanks for the call, Carol.
Thank you.
Here's an email we got from Regina in South Bend. The various stages of Lisa and Les's experiences offered us occasion to talk about cancer, death, family, courage, and grief. My only question is why we didn't see more of Summer as Lisa was dying. I kept thinking about how Les and the Winkerbean gang were helping Summer with her mother's death.
Yeah, you know, there were strips like where Summer takes her little toy doll down to her mom because she was going to be sleeping downstairs now in a hospital bed. And, you know, I did that. But again, the focus, I was really trying to focus on Les and Lisa's relationship, and that was really my main point of interest. And you sort of have to assume that other things are kind of happening off-panel or off-stage.
Yeah. And now that you've jumped ahead in time, is Summer becoming a more central character?
Well, sure. When that jump takes place, she's going to be 16, and Les has been a single dad raising this 16-year-old girl. And so the guy who was the nerd in high school and couldn't climb the rope finds himself the father of a girls' basketball superstar. So it's kind of fun playing with these new characters.
And you're back in high school, so full circle.
Well, yeah. You know, there have never been parents in Funky. My core characters are now going to be the parents, and the new freshman class coming in is going to be their sons and daughters.
Hmm. Let's get Nathan on the line. Nathan's calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, guys. How's it going there?
Okay, good.
I hate to be, and it's funny, they said I was pretty much the only naysayer, just like that, and I hate to be that because I want to be so supportive of what these characters are going through and what's represented there. And I'm certainly a big fan of guys like Harvey Pekar who have brought kind of the human condition and the things that we all go through in such a great way through the comic medium. And even amongst those guys, I, I still have to say that while I am so sympathetic to that situation, I honestly, when I see a comic that's just a little too real for me, I'm going to avoid that connection back to reality. I'm going to look at, you know, Garfield or something funny. And I hate to seem obtuse like that, but it just seems to me like, as much as I want to be so sympathetic with those, that really I do agree that the place for the more, you know, the sadder comics and for the more real comics is someplace other than the funny pages.
Well, I mean, there's validity to that viewpoint, and your solution is a good solution. You just move to something else. The only real problem I have is with people who don't want to see it on the comic page but also want to censor it for other people as well.
Thanks very much, Nathan.
No problem.
Okay. Quickly, though, I know that in lieu of flowers for Lisa Moore, there is a fund that's been set up in her name, and she will live on in another way in terms of a fund set up to fight cancer.
Yeah, University Hospitals of Cleveland set up a Lisa's Legacy Fund for Cancer Research, and it's amazing. She has stepped off the page and has a chance to do some real-world good, and that's, as a cartoonist, that's about as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm. And I know that the profits from your book about her will be going to that fund, so thanks very much for that, too.
Yeah, thanks.
Tom Batek joined us today from the studios of member station KERA in Dallas, Texas. We've been talking about the death of his character Lisa Moore in his comic strip Funky Winkerbean, which appears in 400 newspapers around the country. Tomorrow, Ira Flatow will be here at Science Friday. We'll see you Monday. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.